Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
We realize we have had a lot of discussions about big topics, and we've broken it up into multiple parts, okay? And we want to get back into doing some things about, I don't know, one episode things to kind of help you guys get an idea about something. And if we need to go more in depth later, we can. But for right now, I think it's good to get some one episode things. We still will do parts episodes. For right now, we wanted to cover a couple of these, you know, different topics. And one of the first ones that came to mind was how religion interacts with therapy. And as many of you know, we all are, well, Jen was originally, but now she's based in Texas, but Taylor and I are based in Utah. Jen was originally based in Utah, and religion's a huge topic out here. I don't know why, but for some reason.
You don't know why.
Oh, trust me, in Texas, it's a huge topic too. Okay,
it's a different color of that. Definitely, for sure. But it's, yeah, religion. And to be fair, I feel like nowadays, religion is a huge topic amongst people in general to talk about, but then also in therapy, this is a different type of generational thing where religion isn't just a, I subscribe to this one religion and this is how I live my life. We're doing a lot of different things within that topic of religion, more than that has been before, I would say.
And it's interesting because religion historically, not any particular reason, just religious practice has been something that has, in testing, shown this is a positive coping skill. This is, you know, something that's been good for you. And on the other end of that, we've also seen some cultural situational things that happen in religion that actually be very damaging to people. And so it affects the broad spectrum of mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're now seeing it more of a trauma trigger than in past situations.
And again, not for everyone, but
yeah,
but absolutely.
Just statistically overviewing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That idea of when we rely on a set list of rules to manage anxiety or manage behavior or those kinds of things, we move into this place where we become less about the person and more about the behavior. That's turning out to be not so healthy. So one of the things that I wonder if you guys get the question for, as I assume you do, because I do, is a lot of people ask either to use a religious reference or to avoid using kind of a religious context in their therapy. And I wonder if you guys see the same thing and how often you guys are kind of getting that question or thought.
I guess those who aren't therapists may not be aware. How do we get clients? Things like that. We don't knock on doors. We don't try to find them through different things. For the most part, we get client referrals from, there's a lot of like Facebook posts that are private, that it's like, hey, I have a, let's not name names. Let's not name really specific demographics, but I have a client who has this issue. They're looking for a therapist who would meet these qualifications. A lot of the times, none of us deal with really insurance stuff, but they'll say like looking for an insurance person through, you know, Select Health, or looking through a out-of-pocket pay. A lot of the times though, too, recently I've noticed there are a lot more people who are asking for therapists who identify as Christian, for here, LDS/Mormon, you know, whatever you want to call it out here. So there have been a few times. It's interesting because out here, certain therapists kind of pin their, you know, what is it called? They
ideology.
Psychology Today. You can see religion.
It's like, I am a Christian therapist and this is how I do it. Personally, I don't like being defined as just Christian or non-Christian and things like that. I definitely do a lot of therapy with traditional Christian LDS values. I also work a lot with the Jewish population, which is pretty cool. And so I grew up in an area that had a good amount of people from that faith. And also I, you know, have spent a lot of time with different groups of friends who are also of that faith and did my own kind of work and stuff like that to kind of help see if I can help more population. And so I try not to, I definitely am able to go into that, but I don't try to kind of pinpoint as being that as my only niche. I also work with a lot of people who are leaving faiths and, you know, am kind of known for that as well, of being able to work. So often I have clients or other therapists who are looking to refer out because they can't see the client anymore, or the client's moving or they're moving. And they'll be like, hey, I'm looking for someone who can work with LDS values, or look for someone who, you know, isn't going to push religion. And I've, at least for me personally, I found that I can deal with both. And I really like having both clientele and working in both atmospheres with it. But I don't know, Taylor, Jen, what do you guys?
Yeah, I find it's most helpful for clients to ask them what they believe, even if I'm well-versed in their faith. I've read catechism. I've read the Bible several times. I've read the Book of Mormon, the Quran. I'm familiar with Buddhism. I like to read about a lot of different religions, but just because I feel familiar with their faith, or have attended their church. I know my best friend growing up was evangelical. I'd go to his church. Doesn't mean that they're going to have the same understanding of their faith that I do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, two people can be in the same pew at church and have pretty different understandings. Mm-hmm. And so approaching someone in therapy from their understanding will make a big difference, instead of preaching to someone in therapy. That's not our role.
Mm-hmm. I like that you bring that up, because I think one of the questions when we start to talk about religion and therapy as a therapist is, can my therapist honor my perspective and help me with my perspective? Mm-hmm. And for some people, they want to include their value perspective from a religious standpoint. And if you can or can't do that, that is the question we should answer honestly as a therapist, but also because sometimes understanding the cultural norms and community and those kinds of things can be where people experience trauma or expectations. And so in this world of evolving faith, right? And again, not just I identify as a particular religion, but also where am I at in my personal religious journey? It's important that you have a therapist who can meet you wherever you are at, versus them feeling like they need to project your morals. It's actually something we get taught in school as therapists, is that we shouldn't be projecting our morals and our values onto our clients. And so when we pigeonhole ourselves and we say, I am this kind of therapist, or I only work with this kind of people, it's not bad. It may just say my value system or my abilities, I have too much transference, or I have too much whatever background.
It's quite ethical of the therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To really talk outside of that. And so I'm going to stick with what I know and what I do best. Just like if they were to say, I specialize in a certain type of therapy, like I just do DBT. If that's what they're familiar with, then it's okay that they're telling you that.
Or like age groups, I think. There are a lot of, like, I personally don't work with the senior population, not against them in any way. I'm not being like, they shouldn't get therapy, right? Like, it's more like I had a lot of people in my cohort that they went and worked at senior living centers and end of life care. And that's just not my specialty. So if someone were to be like, hey, could you work with this? I'd be like, you know, I'm just not well-versed. That's not something I feel comfortable knowing what to do with it. So I would recommend, there's so many other great therapists. Let's have you go find someone that's actually going to fit with that. Right. And let's also just be very clear, spirituality and religion, two different things, right? Spirituality can feed into religion, right? And vice versa, but they are not the same topic. So when we're talking about religion, we're talking about more organized, faith-based.
An institution.
Yes, institution. We're not talking about spirituality as a concept, because spirituality, everyone has, whether or not they like religion or not. Everyone has a spiritual, you know, part of self. And so when it comes
to how they connect to themselves or a higher power,
higher version of self, whatever it is, it's like the best possible person we can be. But religion itself is not, you know, is not just hinged on spirituality. So when we're talking about religion, just being aware, we're not talking about like having any spiritual sense and people being in it or not. That's something spirituality, I think every therapist really should be versed in, which going back to what Jen said, we're taught about that in school. That's another reason why for me, I'm so passionate about credentialing and I'm so passionate about actual education, about being a therapist and not just becoming a lesser known mental health coach type of thing. This is where we learn how to recognize our own biases. This is where we're able to recognize who we are and who we want to be in a clinical setting. And you need that education to do so. If you don't have that education and you're relying heavily on life experience, it's going to be painted and dyed a bit of a different color just because of that. It's not going to be as holistic as you need it to be a therapist.
And to add to that, I think what's really important is that you need to understand that because spirituality is a human experience, and you may or may not share a religious cultural background with your therapist, to understand that the terms of transference, meaning I feel similarly about something, or it starts to touch on what my personal experience is, and counter transference of I actually don't support something, are things that we need to be very aware of when it comes to morals and values.
Transference is when our therapist reminds us of someone or something in our life, and counter transference is when the client reminds the therapist of someone in their life.
Yes. See, I knew you'd have the definition better than I would, Taylor. But I think it's important to recognize that that is a big part, because religion, when we talk about the cultural organized religion, deals a lot with relationships, a lot with attachment. When we talk about people's attachment to whoever their deity is or God or their personal relationship with who they call Christ may not be the same as someone else's. And so understanding that, like Haley was saying, is really important, that we see that from not just a spiritual doctrinal realm, but also from a personal relationship realm. And that's a big mm-hmm. part of doing that work and understanding that.
Religion comes into therapy generally in two ways. One is it helps give someone a sense of purpose, meaning. It's how someone will, it's a contributing factor to their resilience. It's how they navigate life. It's how they view the world. The second way is a source of conflict in their life. The religion is asking something of them that they feel like they're not able to meet. So for example, the religion might have a rule that the person is consistently breaking or that they disagree with. And that source of conflict is where they're feeling a source of anxiety or some other kind of deep feeling that brings them into therapy.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to recognize too that these life events that like Taylor's talking about as part of development, like that's another thing too, is like often religions have life events that are part that mark development for people as they grow and evolve. Like, you know, you hear about bar mitzvahs and you hear about, you know, baptisms and you hear about christenings and you hear about these different life events. Often our lives are patterned after, if we are in an organized religion or if we are part of a faith, they are, you know, gateways we kind of enter into as we move along with our own development. And it's good to recognize too, as a therapist, just as you know, what we're thinking during those things, like has been mentioned before, we are working out of your lens. Okay. We are not taking our own binoculars to the scene. We are asking, hey, can I see what you're seeing for a little bit so I can be along with you in this situation, right? And not in a sense of, I want you to teach me. That's not appropriate either within a therapeutic relationship. We aren't to be using our clients as our information background, right? You often hear about it nowadays, especially when it comes to racial culture. I'm not going to go to one of my, you know, people of color clients and be like, can you tell me about the experience? I don't know anything about it. So I want you to tell me, because then that actually becomes like a microaggression that becomes something that, you know, it's putting them in a spot when I should be providing a safe space instead of putting them in that vulnerable situation at all times. Religion's the same thing. I had a couple of clients who were telling me that I had a couple of therapists I knew who their clients were telling them about a couple of situations where they weren't Wiccan, but they were definitely of a more like nature, spiritual, religion type of thing, with, you know, spirits and energies and things like that. And they were like, you know, it was so intriguing to have them explain it to me. And, you know, our job also within that is not to make them the guinea pig of, you're my one client who's teaching me about this. We can either decide we're going to learn about those things Taylor's saying in that first part, or on our own, and come to the session knowing how to support and knowing what we need to do, while knowing we're not always going to be, you know, knowing every detail of everything about this religion. No one's expected to do that. But we need to decide if we're going to do that, or if this is someone we need to refer out to a clinician who does have a better experience, especially if this is a big part of their life. I've had some clients where they're like, religion's not a huge part, so we actually don't even really talk about it much because they have a lot of other things they need to talk about with therapy. But when it comes to it, you want to make sure that you find someone that is helping you feel comfortable in that scenario, not just, you know, maybe it is under the guise of, oh, they're really interested in learning, but in therapy, it's not really the time that you need to teach someone. In therapy is the time when that person should be there for you to help support you and what you're going through.
Been a shift in the field. We used to talk about being culturally competent, meaning that you know the culture, you know the ins and outs. And we've shifted to being culturally aware, which is that we don't know everything, that the client can teach us what we need to know, and also know our limitations, that maybe someone is better equipped. I used to work a lot with Native Americans. I have Native American family, but each tribe is different.
So different.
Yeah.
Well, in addition to that too, is the idea of cultural humility, right? To know what you don't know. And so part of cultural awareness is, are you willing to acknowledge, I don't know, and I'm not the right resource for this, because we can't be all things to all people.
Yes.
It's interesting, Taylor, you talked about how sometimes religion comes as a supportive place versus, you know, when it comes in as conflict. And I wanted to tie that in, is that it's really important that when you're in conflict over something, some spiritual awareness or something like that, that you feel like you're met without judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And that is sometimes where the trauma comes from with religion, right? Is this constant feeling of judgment. And so it's not just about, do we share the same values or do we not, or do you know my religion or do you not? The question is, can the therapist meet you in a place of non-judgmental kindness, which is also something that we talk about a lot in training therapists, is the ability to see people that they're doing the best they can and have that unconditional positive regard for them. And so when people are looking to work through conflicts in their lives, it would be like, you don't necessarily need to be divorced to help someone through a divorce, but you do need to be able to have that unconditional positive regard versus judgment for your client. And that's one of the skills that I would say that in the cultural humility and cultural awareness thing is to say, if I work with this kind of client, can I work well? I was just talking to Taylor before we started recording about a client that I didn't feel like I could work well with because of
X, Y, and Z.
Because X, Y, and Z, that's right. And that I was going to refer them out because that just felt like the right thing to me. And I think you should be experiencing that in your career. You know, I've been in this field a long time, and I don't think I should serve everyone. I don't think I serve everyone well. I know when I can serve them well, I will do my very best, but I don't serve them by pretending I can be a jack of all trades. And it's the same thing with religion. Don't see that as you need to be a certain thing, or that your therapist needs to be a certain thing to be good. Be honest with yourself about what you need, and honest with getting the feedback of, am I really getting that in therapy?
There are a few things that happen with a conflict in religion. One is Is this conflict a deal breaker as far as me and this institution? Do I need to have a faith transition? Do I need to find a different religion? Am I just going to take a break from religion? Am I going to leave religion altogether? That's one thing. And so conflicts for people are very scary because they think that this is the only outcome of a conflict with a religion. So they must conform regardless of how they feel. And that's not usually the case. The second outcome of a conflict with religion is that we do change and we realize that we feel differently about the conflict, and it's not because we're just conforming and swallowing whatever feeling we have. The third outcome is that we misunderstand the conflict and that there may not be a conflict at all, that the conflict isn't what we thought it was. For example, sometimes we have clients that feel that they can't exercise because they have the wrong motivation. And so God is unhappy with them for exercising. And then as they get to know their religion better, it turns out that that's not something that their religion feels or teaches.
Mm-hmm. I want to tie that too into one of the reasons that life coaches who especially attribute to a certain religion can be very damaging, is because they don't learn about those deeper mental health issues. So they're actually perpetuating sometimes cultural norms versus actually doing care and contributing to people. And I won't say they're all doing that, but I think that is one of the things that we see with one of the things I see is this toxic positivity culture that sometimes comes in religion and then also into life coaching. And that is very, it doesn't meet people where they are. It doesn't meet them as whole beings and those kinds of things. But it's because life coaches initially were trained to help people with professional development and not mm-hmm. other types of things. And so as it's morphed, it's really important to understand that the extensive training to help somebody through their mental health is very different than the structure of life coaching.
I think it's also a huge, and that's our main reason for bringing that up is not to demean, it's just to show the difference of it, right? Because I think that's the biggest question I get is, why am I paying you to be a therapist when I could go to a life coach and spend less money?
Usually more money.
Sometimes more. It used to be less money, and now I'm realizing they are charging a lot more than I even charge for my professional services. But that used to be the big question of, what's the difference? And especially when it comes to religion, I want to say there are so many religion coaches out there. That's the big thing. This is a very, sexuality and religion, I feel like, are two huge coach areas now, rather than so much professional help and needs and things like that. And so when it comes to those kinds of things, they ask us, what's the difference, right? What's the difference between this? The biggest thing of all things, it's going to be the educational background. It's going to be, and let me also put a caveat, there are some therapists who do coaching services, because coaching services are not regulated by state. So a therapist can do coaching services and see people out of state without having to get that license. Personally, for me, I've not done that. I personally do.
Because there's an ethical concern that they will be expecting therapy services, even if you say you're
doing, you will coaching. Call them coaching, but it is therapy services. So for me personally, I go to each state that I have clients in and I work to get their license. And sometimes they're ridiculous, things that they have me do, but I do it. Okay. Like for getting my Texas license, don't have any clients there right now, but I have to drive to Colorado to get fingerprinted apparently, because I can't do it here in Utah. So when we're talking about religion, there's a huge thing. What the difference is when you're needing to talk to someone about it. Positives though, of having religion and therapy, I think it's great having a therapist who knows how to talk the language of religion. There's a lot of nuanced words in every religion that it's really great not having to have someone that you have to explain it to. So I grew up LDS, went to therapy when I was an early adult, had a therapist who was not LDS. And it was pretty difficult. It was through a university kind of therapy service. So it was discounted. And at that time, I really didn't know how to advocate much for myself. Great therapist, but the therapist didn't really understand the nuances of some of the religious terms I was using. And that in some ways was really frustrating. Luckily, a lot of the things I had at that moment weren't really due to needing to go into deep religious things. So it didn't get in the way. I was handling some other issues in therapy at that time. And for me, though, having that background of someone who would know, I think, you know, having had therapists ongoing, you know, and I think we've talked about every therapist needs a therapist. I now have a therapist who does understand lingo and things like that. It's really great. I can just throw a lingo word out and they know exactly what I'm talking about. I can use like a term or a phrase that's very common and they will know what that is. So I think religion within therapy, it can do a lot of things. Whether or not we have trauma from the religion, having that cultural background within that religion, it's really great to have someone who understands it so that you can make, you know, comparisons. You can talk about it openly and someone who understands it. It's amazing to have that. It's great. It's another part of it.
Especially when it's nuanced. I think that can be really helpful. And it's interesting, Haley, that you say that because you're talking about your therapist and shared versus unshared. My therapist and I share a common spirituality, but not a common religion. Mm-hmm. And so we talked a little bit about that. And so while there are some nuances that we may not share the language to, I absolutely feel like, despite the fact that we don't share the same religion, that
you're able to get that still.
I'm able to get everything I need from the therapist. And it's not, you know, if I was seeking help for a specific religious context, maybe I would think about doing something else. But I really love, actually, because we have shared spirituality, she shared different resources that weren't necessarily something I had looked at before. And I really loved that from her.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's great. So I guess the main theme too is that religion does fit within therapy. A lot of people say like, hey, don't talk about that in therapy. Talk about that with your bishop, your priest, your rabbi, whoever it is. No, this is a great space to have it. We want to have all parts.
If it's a part of your life, it's a part of therapy.
Mm-hmm. And if we don't have room for that within our session, I honestly am like, then what do we have room for? Right. If there's any topic that you're like, I don't think that's something I should talk about in session, because I don't think that's the place. I get really, you know, inquisitive of knowing, well, what do you mean by that? Right. Tell me more. If at any point too, you have a therapist that is overusing religion, right? They're like giving you scriptures to read. They're giving you passages to read. Then I would say definitely that can feel like a red flag. They could be just very excited. You had shared, you had a common understanding of this religion and you liked it. They may have taken that as, oh, this person really subscribes. Personally, for me, with my sessions, I ask straight out and just say, hey, do you want us to talk about religion? Do you not? Do you want me to bring up options with religion? Do you not? Right? And do you want me to reference religious information, religious stories, religious whatever? Or would you rather us not have that in there? And I like hearing from my clients with that. Some therapists, I think, just they really want to show that they understand you. Those are moments you can definitely give feedback. But I think it's also okay to recognize maybe that's not a good fit, depending on what's going on.
Or you can change your mind after you give an answer.
Yeah, exactly. You never have to stick with it 100% and say that that's how I will ever be.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.